The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Where else would you rather be than right here?
The Buffalo Bills beat an inferior Redskins team today 24-9. This was a Redskins team that, going into this game, hadn't scored a touchdown in two games and was starting a rookie quarterback in Dwayne Haskins. But nonetheless, the Bills go 6-2, which is the best record for the Bills since 1993. Hello everyone, welcome to this recap episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and we're going to discuss the Bills' victory today. We'll go over our thoughts on the game, some stats of the game, our plays of the game, and as always, our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers with some help from our great followers on Twitter. And then we'll end the episode with a redraw of the signed John Brown jersey. Yes, we are redrawing again this episode as the winner did not message us, so we will most likely have a new winner today. So please stick around for the end of the episode for that, as we have a really funny story to go along with the guy that lost the jersey this last week. So I'm joined by my co-host Mike for this episode. Mike, I'm thinking of it, of this game specifically, and I'm really happy that we're 6-2. This was a much more definitive win than the win against the Dolphins just a few weeks ago. And I was never really worried this entire game, except, you know, when Adrian Peterson just keeps ripping off runs at like 6 yards a clip. But I guess I'm not really sure what kind of team we have here. I think I know, but I'm curious what your thoughts are. Is this team 6-2 as a product of their schedule, or are they 6-2? Are they a 6-2 team that could make a run in the playoffs, in your opinion?
I don't think what you said is mutually exclusive, right? 6-2, a huge portion of that is the schedule for sure, but I'm sick of apologizing for wins, right? 6-2, best since 1993. You go back to the beginning of the year, we would all take this. It's amazing. It's fun to enjoy watching a football game again. You'd like to see a blowout, especially against, geez, an inferior opponent, starting a rookie quarterback, his first start, yep. An interim head coach, right? It was too close for too long, but the game did not feel in doubt to me.
Yeah. At home, too. Don't forget that. Who's at home?
Yeah.
For the Buffalo Bills. So I guess I'm not really sure exactly what this team is. I think it's a little bit of both. I think they've beaten the teams that they should have, and then they've struggled against the teams that they should have, too. And they've also may have... So it's a question, are they playing down to their competition level, or are they really just at this level of competition as a team? So I'm not 100% sure exactly what kind of team this is, but I'm still excited. We're 6-2. If you were to look at the schedule at the beginning of the season and say, hey, what's the best case scenario for the first 8 games halfway through the season for us? I think 6-2 is pretty damn good. And I think that we should be excited based on what the schedule looks like the rest of the way out and the way that they perform today. So first thing we have to discuss, Mike, is I think the main storyline of this game today, and hopefully it lends well to the rest of the season, is Devin Singletary. I mean, Devin Singletary was involved in this game plan much more this week than any previous week so far as a Buffalo Bill. It's as if Brian Daboll is listening to our podcast each week and finally just finally implementing some of our suggestions that we've been spouting off. So if you've been following us, you know that we're not big fans of QB-designed runs. So they got rid of those today, for the most part, besides QB sneaks. We wanted Devin Singletary involved more so than Frank Gore, and Singletary had 23 touches to Gore's 11. And we wanted Zay Jones cut a few weeks ago. So maybe they're catching on. Every podcast, I feel like they're just kind of responding to us. So, Mike, did you agree? Was that pretty much the main storyline of today's game for you as well?
Well, I think without a doubt, right? Like you said, and it's not just, it's everybody pounding the table to see more of Singletary. When he's on the field, he's electric, so quick, and every time he touches the ball, he has the chance to go the distance, which is something you do not have with Frank Gore. Frank's great player, historic, right?
We love him.
We see the milestones almost weekly. Love him. That being said, it's very frustrating to hand off when you need a yard. And what bigger sample size in a game do you have than today? It was just time after time after time when it didn't get it done.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we'll go into stats of the game later, but Gore did not have a very good game compared to Devin Singletary. And you know what's funny? I was listening to this pregame show, and they were discussing how it seems that the Bills were really trying to get Devin Singletary out in space. You know, previous to this game, they were trying to manufacture some space for him, like get him out in screen passes, do, you know, like run him, bang him out to the outside, run around the tackles. And they were saying, you know, what's interesting is that's not what he was good at Florida Atlantic. When he was doing very well in college, he was manufacturing his own space in the field. He was finding it. He was running between the tackles. He was everything as a running back. He didn't catch a lot of passes, so that was a big question mark going into the season, into his NFL career. But he's proven that he's doing just fine in that. Not only, you know, the ability to be a good receiver out of the backfield, but also you notice on a few plays today, he looked pretty good blocking defenders running through the middle. I was very happy with his pass protection. And I think that's one of the reasons why this coaching staff and this front office thought that LeSean McCoy was expendable. And after today, I mean, how can you blame them? How can he not be the bell cow running back for this team from here on out?
Well, you got to think they saw the same things we saw, and they're going to have to move forward with him getting, I would say, the vast majority of the touches. He really reminds me of an Alvin Kamara type back, right? Like, just a guy that can do everything. When you need a spark, he's the one that did it today, certainly.
No, that's a good comparable. I like that one. I like that. So, we have to talk about this for a little bit. Just as while we're on the, you know, talk about offense, while we're discussing the offense, there was a play where Brian Daboll went for it. It was first and goal on the Redskins' 1 yard line, and the Bills were stopped 3 times in a row by the same play call being called. So you think, like, they do their goal line stance, which, by the way, I'm not a big fan of the Bills' goal line stance against another team's goal line stance, because I feel like the Bills don't have a good enough offensive line where they can just push people. They haven't had a good offensive line like that in a long time, where they can just shove defenders down and just will their way in for a 1 yard score with a running back. So they do it 3 times in a row, first and goal, and then finally getting into the end zone on a Josh Allen run. I guess I'm not sure. Daboll got a lot of criticism today as an offensive play caller. And, you know, although I'm happy he didn't, you know, do a lot of QB designed run plays like he normally has the last few weeks, I thought that play calling lacked a lot of creativity, in my opinion. And I said so much on Twitter and got a little bit of flack on it. I actually went back and forth with the Buffalo Rumblings Twitter account, you know, in discussion, because their point, I believe they said something to the effect of, you can't be upset that they're not using, you know, Allen for QB design run plays, and then also be upset that, you know, Frank Gore ran into the middle for 3 times in a row. And I'm like, well, actually, I can be upset because they're not mutually exclusive. There are other ways to run the ball other than just running it straight up the gut. Like, there's a way that you could spread out the defense. You can do a 4 wide play with a running back in the backfield, you know? You could do a fullback dive. I mean, the Patriots love this play. If you've ever played, Mike, do you remember the fullback dive in Madden? It worked like 95% of the time, right? You line up in I formation, and instead of handing the ball to the running back, you just hand it to the fullback, like, right away, and the guy automatically gets a yard or two. Like, it's like the Mike All-Stop play, right? Always works. So I will say I'm not going to kill Brian Daboll because I don't think he's a terrible offensive coordinator. I think he does lack some creativity, but that series just drove me nuts. What about you, Mike? Did that harken back to the days of the run into the pile two or three plays in a row from past Bills offenses?
I personally didn't mind a run when you're at the half yard line, right? But when you're putting Frank Gore in with that package, it's obvious what you're doing. Even by that point, Singletary was having a good game. You just by putting him in there, right? The defense has to respect the running to the outside. Like you said, maybe put a receiver on the field. It felt like banging your head against the wall three times in a row.
Yeah, when they went to that jumbo package with motion, I'm like, oh, maybe they'll do a play action where they pass to Dawson Knox, like wide open in the corner or something. Nope. Yeah, I definitely agree it should have been a run, and I'm not against the Bills running the ball ever, but just a little bit more creativity somehow, some different ways of approaching it. And it's easy, hindsight's 20/20. They failed three times in a row. Who knows if they had gotten in the second time, if I'd even bring it up, but...
But even forgiving all that, what I found more damning was later in the game, right? Fourth and one, you hand off to Gore, he doesn't get it. In the third quarter, right, you turn the ball over. Then later in the game, it was third and one. You're looking to run out the clock, and he didn't get that one. It was just like over and over and over again.
Yeah. So I wonder if they're ever looking at the stats during the game to see that Frank Gore in his yards per carry versus Devin Singletary's yards per carry. So I'm not going to go into all of the stats of today's game, but one of those is yards per carry. And Devin Singletary was 4.8 yards per carry, and Frank Gore was at 1.4 yards per carry. Like, a huge disparity. So I'm wondering if they're looking at the stats during the game like, hey, you know, how is Frank doing in the game? How is Devin doing in the game? What's the difference? I mean, even the eye test should have proven that Devin Singletary was making more out of nothing. There was one play where I don't know if it was the one you were talking about, Mike, where it was a third and one and they went for it there, but there was a group of, you know, defenders in the middle of the field, and Frank Gore just picked the spot he was supposed to go to. Whereas if you looked to the right of the line, there was absolutely nobody there. If he had found a way to bounce it outside, he would have easily gotten the first down and probably a lot more. So I'm not going to roast Brian Daboll, but I mean, some of his play calling is questionable. We talked about this last week. I know a lot of people have been mentioning Brian Daboll's name being a potential head coaching candidate in the NFL, and I don't see it. I don't see it this year. I don't see it unless things dramatically improve around Josh Allen. We should talk about Josh Allen. I thought it was a decent game for him. I wasn't really worried about it. He had that fumble that luckily didn't turn into a fumble, thankfully, but he didn't throw any interceptions. He didn't lose any fumbles, luckily. And I thought it was just a decent, solid game. The game plan today finally was run the ball against this other team. And I thought that he just executed it, and he did well where he had to, and he had some costly drops again by his receivers. And I don't know. I'm okay with this game from Josh Allen. I think it's just slow and steady improvement. Keep them in the game. We can win with a game manager against teams like this. We just can't afford to have you throw four picks and fumble three times, right? And win a game. Mike, what did you think about Josh Allen? Pretty much the same sentiments on your end?
Yeah, I mean, the turnovers, I think, are huge. And this is now 13th quarters in a row without it throwing an interception, which with a young quarterback you like to see. But the fumbles, I think, continue to be a concern. Hit two today. Fortunately, got lucky and they don't kill you. With the fumbles, better than an interception because at least you've got a chance to get one back like we saw today. Mm-hmm. But geez, when are we going to have a 300-yard passing game?
Yeah, I know. That's a good question. I don't know if it matters, but, you know, it matters. I'll tell you when it does matter, in games like last week where the defense isn't as stout as it normally is and they allow more than, you know, 9 points and the offense actually has to come back and score points. I don't know if this team will ever be built like that, at least this season, with the weapons they have, with the play calling they have, the offensive line. I don't know if this team could score 30 points on its own offensively if it needed to. So I would love to see a 300-yard game. I don't think it's necessary to win in the NFL if it's required, but I heard something interesting earlier, like Matt Schaub last week threw for 460 yards. It's like, hey, how come we can't have one of those? Man, I'm just a little jealous, that's all. The Bills limited penalties a lot today. I thought that was a key to one of the win, or one of the keys to the wins today. Only three penalties today. Defensively, now we haven't even talked defense. This was definitely not more of an elite defensive performance, in my opinion. I thought this was a bend but don't break defensive performance, like one that we always used to see in the Dick Duron era or whatnot, because the Redskins were running all over the Bills today. AP looked like he was he 34? He looked like he was 24, right? And he had over 100 yards in the first half. There was some crappy tackling by the Bills over and over again in the first half. And I'm not sure if this defense, I thought we were on the cusp of this defense being elite. And now I think we're just like probably above average, like above average to very good. They did what they had to, only letting the Redskins score 9 points. But then again, like we mentioned, you know, it's a rookie quarterback getting his first start and, you know, an interim head coach. I mean, this should have been a game where you dominated. So, Mike, what did you think about the defense?
The first half was absolutely porous, right? It seemed like AP was ripping off 15-yard runs one after another. But what was awesome to see is when they came back in the second half, the adjustments were made, and it was like a tale of two halves.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. That was the adjustment that we didn't see last week against the Eagles that we saw this week against the Redskins. Right. I can't imagine what the adjustment was. It's like, hey, let's just start tackling. Let's stop Adrian Peterson. Like, when you think you have him tackled, like, just don't assume that you have him tackled and he won't bounce around the outside for another 20 yards. That was maddening today to see that. Like, to see him engulfed. People, there was that one tackle by almost tackle by Taron Johnson, and then he didn't really get him. And then AP's like, oh, well, haven't been tackled, so I'm going to keep running. Just went up the left side for another 15, 20 yards. There were so many times in the first half where the defensive backs had to make a tackle because he not only got past the defensive linemen, but also the linebackers. So the defense, you're right, the adjustments were made, thankfully. And special teams-wise, I mean, it just has to be said, like, this was a great, there was one great return by Andre Roberts, which was really great to see. The Bills haven't had a punt return like that in a while, or a return in general, a kick return, rather, like that in a while. And I'm going to mention that later in stats of the game. But it was great to see. It was great to see. But then again, on the other side, you have Corey Bajorquez, right, with that ridiculous punt.
15-yard punt?
That 15-yard.
You're talking about the bad or the good?
You mean with Corey Bajorquez because he had both, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know.
Well, he had one that was 59 yards and one that was 15, right?
What was that? How does that happen? It wasn't rainy today, was it? It's just, you take the good with the bad, and even though it's mostly bad, Bajorquez with a 15-yard punt. It wasn't like there was anyone in his face either, so there was no excuse for it. It was just, like, he kicked it, and all of a sudden, like, the camera doesn't even know what to do. The camera guy doesn't even know what to do. He just starts zooming out all of a sudden. He has no idea. And then all of a sudden you see the referee start marking off the punt on the sidelines. And you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, he's starting at the 50 and he's marching backwards. Like, that's not good. That's only like a 30-yard punt. Keeps going to the 35. It's like, whoa, 15-yard punt, Corey? Really? Like, there's sometimes when, you know, we joke around like, oh, I could do that. I could easily do that. You know, like, oh, I could have thrown that pass, or I could have found the hole in the line that way. Like, this time, legitimately, anyone listening to this podcast could have kicked it farther than Corey Bajorquez. All right, in saying that, let's go into our stats of the game for today's game. Stats of the game. So, Mike, as always, we do a quiz for stats of the game. I'm going to give you one. What was Washington's third down percentage today on offense? What was Washington's third down efficiency on offense today?
How about 23.
Oh, man, you're definitely going the right way. That was damn close. I swear you have these memorized, all the stats of the game memorized before I give them to you. You were like within 1 yard of last last week's like rushing yardage percentage. Anyway, it was 18%. Washington Redskins were 18% on third downs of converting for first down. So that was, I think, a key for the defense. Like we mentioned, bend but don't break. That's a huge cog in the wheel of a bend but don't break defense. Bills were 50% on third down, just in case anyone was wondering. The Bills had no turnovers. The Redskins had no turnovers. The Bills actually ended up almost having as many rushing yards as Washington did at the end of the day. The Bills had 122 rushing yards. Washington had 127 rushing yards. The Bills had 146 passing yards. Washington only had 116 passing yards. So yeah, no turnovers by either side of the football. The Bills on today, Josh Allen, 14 for 20, 160 yards, one touchdown. That's a 70% completion percentage. So hey, you know, we'll take that any day of the week as long as they don't lose a turnover battle. And they're not down by that much. So Devin Singletary, as we mentioned, had a great day running the ball. 20 carries, 95 yards, one touchdown, and 4.8 yards per carry. Mentioned earlier, Frank Gore, 11 carries for 15 yards for only 1.4 yards per carry. Really rough game for Frank Gore. Leading the Bills receiver, as always, it seems, John Brown, 4 receptions for 76 yards on 7 targets. John Brown, the aforementioned player whose signed jersey we're giving away today. So looking forward to doing that at the end of this podcast. Devin Singletary, the next leading receiver. How about this? 3 receptions for 45 yards on 4 targets. You know, Mike, I was looking in the game when they actually had a very successful screen pass earlier in the game. I was thinking, you know, this might be the difference of a quarterback like Josh Allen getting to 300 yards is to have running back that can get that screen game going, get that short passing game going, and getting a lot of yards after catch. But again, this ended up being like not one of the worst games for Josh Allen, but one of the lowest passing yardage games for Josh Allen during the season. And then to round it all,
point though, watching other games, you see offensive coordinators being a lot more creative in terms of getting the ball from the quarterback to the playmaker's hands. Right? You see with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers doing the touch passes. See other teams doing this shovel pass, like just different way. It goes in the book as a pass, but it traveled half a yard in the air, right? Quarterback gets the snap and immediately hands it to the running back who's cutting in front of him. Just different ways, and it's good to see them do the screens, and it's good to see them have some success, and hopefully they'll start to incorporate, as Allen becomes more comfortable, incorporate some of these other things into the playbook. I mean, geez, a play action pass would be nice to see.
Yeah. You know what you just made me think of right there is Tom Brady always finds a way to pass it to James White out of the backfield. Like the Bills just need to be able to do something like that with Devin Singletary. I want to say like 90% of Brady's yards are either on slant routes to Edelman or just wheel routes out of the backfield from James White. It's ridiculous. And he'll throw for 300 yards a game. So hopefully this is one of the things that continues to improve, continues to grow, and they use Devin Singletary a lot more in the passing game. So the Redskins side of the ball, I'll just give him briefly because we don't really care about the Redskins. Dwayne Haskins, 15 for 22, 144 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And Adrian Peterson, obviously leading rusher, 18 carries for 108 yards and 6 yards per carry, running all over the Bills today. And then the leading receiver for the Redskins was Paul Richardson for 4 receptions for 42 yards and 5 targets. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. After that, we'll go into our plays of the game and our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers, and also our drawing for the John Brown signed jersey. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know It's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back to the Circling the Wagons podcast, our recap show. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm with my co-host, Mike. Mike, before we even get into our plays of the game and our John Brown signed jersey giveaway, what's funny is with a signed Brown or with a signed jersey and everything like that, it's really cool. People have really reached out to us and everything like that. But what's funny is the person that won it last week did not contact us. Like, that was one of the rules of winning the John Brown jersey, was that you had to listen to every episode where we might announce it and message us after that and say, hey, this is my address, or hey, glad to hear I won it. You know, thanks for announcing it, or whatever. But it's not just that the person didn't get back to us, which is funny. What's funny is we actually know the person that won last week. We didn't give it away because it would sound weird, but now it sounds even better because this definitely isn't a rigged contest, because this is literally one of the, I don't know, like three people that we know in real life that actually listens to the podcast at our recap show. So this person's name is actually a friend of ours. It's a good friend of John's, our co-host John, who's not here tonight. His name is Dave, and
it's not rigged because we're not going to give it to him.
Yeah, it's not. It definitely is not rigged, because he's not going to win because he didn't respond to us. So we're going to do a new drawing, and we'll read a couple of more reviews. There were a couple more reviews added to Apple Podcasts that we're going to read in this episode. Really appreciate.
Wait, you didn't tell him?
No. Why? I'm not going to tell him. I'm not going to go out of. First off, I'm not going to go out of my way because that wasn't the rule of the contest, right? And secondly, like I don't know, kind of lazy, a little lazy. I'm not going to go out of my way to contact someone, you know, when they want it. You got to do the work, right?
It would literally take 15 seconds.
I know Dave's on Twitter nonstop too, so it's not like he didn't have time.
Wouldn't somebody else who listened to the episode just send him a message? Be like, hey, heads up.
Oh, I hope not. Well, what's funny is I was worried that John would, because he's like one of John's best friends. He was in the wedding and everything like that. But then I remember John doesn't listen to the podcast. He's not one of the three people we know that listens to the podcast, so we're fine. Oh, man.
Well, don't we stand to lose all these people as friends?
No, because if he probably won't listen again this week, which he does listen. I do definitely know he does listen, but he just missed. You know, in his defense, it was a game that the Bills lost. It's a little bit more annoying to listen to a Bills recap show when the Bills lose, but, you know.
I would never do that.
Yeah, I know. The people that listen to our recap show when the Bills lose, I mean, they're the true fans. They're
true.
The real MVPs.
You're the real MVP.
The real Bills fans out there. So now we'll do our sweet, sassy, molassy plays of today's game.
Sweet, sassy, molassy. Get out the checkbook and pay grandma for the rub down.
I guess there are a few really good plays. I wouldn't even say really good plays. There weren't any amazing plays, honestly, offensively, that I would choose in this game. I mean, there were some really cool games on cool plays on defense, I would say. Like, for example, the Trey White sack in the second half, I believe. Here, real quick, actually, I always forget this. This is how bad I am. There were some stats of the game that I missed, some really cool ones that came out. One being Tre'Davious White had his first sack of his entire season. Of his entire career during the game. Trent Murphy had his first sack of the season. Cole Beasley has a touchdown reception in three straight games. He's the first Bill to do that since Charles Clay in 2016. Jerry Hughes had a sack today. He has 2.5 on the year now, which the Bills had 4 sacks today as a group. John Brown surpassed 50 yards on the day and has done so in all 8 games this season. He's the first Bill to do that to open a season on an eight game 50 plus yard streak since Eric Moulds, who had a 9 game streak like that in 2002. So that's always good company to have. Devin Singletary's 140 scrimmage yards today is the most by a Buffalo Bill since LeSean McCoy got 147 yards in 2017 at New England. Josh Allen has set a new career high for 89 consecutive pass attempts without an interception. So small steps there. That's good. It's funny that like dwarfs. I remember seeing stats like that from like either like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. It was like 400 pass attempts without an interception. But you know, we got to get there. Got to get there one pass attempt at a time. Defensive tackle Jordan Phillips brought his season sack total to 6, which leads all NFL defensive tackles. It's good to happen in a contract year. That's the best time to do that. And with both a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown today, Josh Allen joined Steve Grogan, Cam Newton, and Dak Prescott as the only players to have at least 20 passing touchdowns and 12 rushing touchdowns over their first 2 seasons in NFL history. So really cool there. So play of the game, Mike, is there a play at all that really stood out to you? Because I'm having a hard time thinking of one specifically, except besides maybe a sack, besides the Cole Beasley touchdown pass. I mean,
the play of the game was when Allen ran it in on 4th and 1 to make it 17-3.
That's for the Redskins on 4th and goal. No hesitation. Bills going. Josh Allen falls forward and touchdown on a delay.
Unequivocally, that's the play of the
game. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You mean when they got stuffed 3 times in a row by trying to run it in right up the
guts
with Frank Gore? Okay.
Not just for the score, but the momentum. Can you imagine if they were stopped 4 times from the half yard line?
No, the momentum swing would have, which they were stopped on 4th down earlier or later in the game, rather. Which
right.
You mentioned.
I mean, Washington, the team, any fans that like they were so pumped when they had Gore stopped for the 3rd time.
Yeah,
sure. Thinking the Bills were going to kick the field goal. Bills bring out the offense again, and Allen punches it in. I thought it was a huge. Maybe not momentum shift, but to sustain the Bills being the superior team at that point, to finish that drive and make it 17-3 instead of 10-3 with Washington having the ball.
Yeah, that was a good one. Do you like the aggressiveness that Sean McDermott is showing on these plays and going for them on 4th and 1? I've been pleasantly surprised by his aggressiveness this season to go for them and to kind of say, hey, you know, we're going to try to win this game outright and prove that our offense can do it. Now they didn't prove it every time, but what do you think about the aggressiveness that he's shown this season for going for it on 4th down, even when they don't necessarily have to?
I think it's very situation dependent, but I liked all the calls today.
Yeah. You know, going when the Bills did score that touchdown to go up 17-3, I was thinking, man, like this is where they start, you know, blowing the wheels off. This is where they just start just destroying the Redskins, and I couldn't have been more wrong. The rest of the game was kind of, I will say for the second half, if this was a better team, I don't know the Bills win this game because they didn't show a ton on offense the second half. So luckily the Redskins are the Redskins. They're 1-8 for a reason, and the Bills are 6-2. So that's all that really matters. I'm going to say that my play of the game, now this is going to sound weird because it wasn't a truly impactful play, but it led to I thought the play was important. You know, Josh Allen scoring a touchdown, that's important. But I thought the play that really that made that play possible was the Andre Roberts kick return for 66 yards after the Redskins just scored a field goal.
Back to receive is Andre Roberts if he has the chance, and he's bringing it out of the end zone. gets a block. Past the kicker is Roberts. And all the way down to the 40 of Washington. What a return from Andre Roberts.
And I believe there was a stat I had on that. Andre Roberts, 65-yard kick return is the longest by a Bill since C.J. Spiller brought back a kick for 102 yards in 2014 versus the Dolphins. Yeah, so that was huge. We've kind of criticized the special teams unit in general. So it was nice to see for once something spark the offense, because when Andre Roberts was signed, I mean, this was his forte. I mean, kick returning, punt returning. I mean, this guy was one of the best in the league last season and all the way up to this season. So it's good to finally see it. I was happy that it turned that unit around a little bit, and it led to that amazing touchdown that you mentioned, Mike. So,
yeah, it's really good. Not play the game material, right? Because say the next play is a Josh Allen fumble, and that does nothing. Yeah. Whereas the play I picked put 7 on the board.
Well, the play that I picked leads to putting 7 on the board. You're right.
But the coin flip leads to, right? Like, leads to the Bills win.
Yeah. Well, like, it was like that Jordan Phillips sack a few weeks ago against the Dolphins. Like, that led to the Tre'Davious White interception. Like, that was a lead up to it. I mean, nobody talks about the sack that somebody has on Dwayne Haskins, and then all of a sudden he throws a 50-yard touchdown pass. Like, no one cares about the sack then. It only matters when it leads to something good, like my play.
But how far back could you take it, right? Like the security guard that opened up the gate that morning when they drove in.
The guy that jumped through a table, you know, right before kickoff in the New Era Field parking lot. And that was huge that guy did it then, you know?
You're just trying to be contrarian to be contrarian.
No.
You don't want to be like, oh, yes, Mike, that was definitely right. You're just trying to say something different.
Well, I mean, there's tons of plays that could have, like, the Bills recovering both of Josh Allen's fumbles. Like, those were both plays of the game. Like, I could say that, too. But I was happy to see Andre Roberts get a kick return for 66 yards or 65 yards.
Rushing touchdown, right? 17-3. They never looked back. That sealed the game.
Hey, this is all
not sealed the game, but no. Was the winning
go ahead score? Yeah, yeah. Hey, it's all subjective, man. This is what I feel is my play of the game, and what really got it.
Not right, but it's not...
Well, agree to disagree. Then I am right. It's my own opinion, man. Jeez, like I can't be wrong if it's my opinion. You know, just like it doesn't mean. So okay, let's go into Wall of Famers of the game. Wall. Let's see if I can get this one right. Let's see if I don't screw this one up. So Wall of Famer for the game, for today's game, can I give it to Devin Singletary, Mike? Is that cool? Is that right? Is that wrong?
Well, shouldn't it be Andre Roberts?
No. It should be Josh Allen. You better say Josh Allen then. Based on that logic, you better say Josh Allen was the Wall of Famer for today's game. Is he your Wall of Famer?
Yeah.
You're so full of shit that you know that's not your Wall of Famer.
Yeah, it is. I already told you. 13 quarters without an interception. Quarterback's the most important position to a team in American sports.
Devin Singletary almost had as many yards as Josh Allen did passing today from scrimmage. Now you're just being contrarian just to be contrarian. throwing it right back at me.
You started it.
Yeah. Man, this goes off the rails.
Yes, it's Devin Singletary.
Yes, yes. I do like that stat, though. 13 quarters without a pick. That's nice. Devin
Singletary. So I'm the bigger person, at least admitting it.
Oh, that's so humble of you to admit that you're the bigger person. Congratulations to you on doing that. Okay, well, let's do our Wall of Shamer for today's game.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Oh, this one is obvious, right? I mean, because I can't.
Yes. Why don't you go first?
If it's so obvious, why don't you just tell me?
Why don't you just tell me the name of the movie you selected?
Classic Seinfeld. I don't have an obvious one for this one. I had to really think about it. I think I'm going to give it to Corey Bohorquez for that 15-yard freaking pooch punt.
Dude, he had a 59-yard kick.
Yeah, well, he does this way too often where he outkicks his coverage a lot too, so it's not just that punt. I'm just haven't been really happy with him in general. Luckily, it hasn't bitten us a lot, but I can't. So I want to say the run defense today.
Wait,
in the first
I'll
half.
Pick your coverage is bad.
Yes, it's very bad, isn't it?
What does that mean?
Oh, so okay, so yeah, you made me doubt myself just now. But outkicking your coverage is basically you don't put enough hang time on the punt, right? So you'll punt it, but it'll be like a line drive. So it'll be like 60 yards, but the guy has plenty of time to back up. The punt returner has plenty of time to back up, and then he'll catch the ball and run for another 20 yards because your coverage hasn't even had a chance to get to the ball. A true, really well punted ball is high and long so that your coverage is right there for, like, ideally it'd be like a 60-yard fair catch, right? Where the guys have a chance to run down and just watch the guy catch the ball because you have enough hang time on it. So outkicking your coverage is a very bad thing.
Well, so you make it sound like maybe it's not ideal, but what you described isn't like the end of the, like, oh, it's a very bad thing.
Well, anytime the punt returner gets like an extra 10 yards before he even sees a tackler.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you this. I thought I've heard that described by people talking about others getting married.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a like, yeah.
That's a really bad thing. I always thought that was a good thing.
No, that's a good thing when you like meet a partner or whatever, and they're it usually
like,
means
oh, that, he really outkicked his coverage.
Yeah, yeah. That usually means that they're married someone that's much better looking than they are. Yeah, in that respect, for sure.
Just there's a couple layers that I don't understand, I guess.
Yeah.
You just tell me it's really bad. But if you're talking about a partner, it's really good.
Well, it's really bad for the partner that's married that's much better looking than you.
You always, that's interesting. You took it to for mean you. Looks. I took it to mean the holistic, like the entire person.
Oh, yeah.
Your base is strictly on looks?
No, totally. It's like how good the person is, how kind they are, how nice they are, you know.
Right, okay.
You know, the things that really matter, not looks. That looks made like, you know, the things that really matter, like how good you are of a person, like how much wealth you have, how much are his or her parents worth? How much can you expect in a will when the parents kick it is really what's more important for. No, it's funny. It does mean the opposite, though. Like if I say, Mike, you really outkicked your coverage, I'm really giving you props for finding a partner
by tricking your significant other,
like, man,
successfully tricking someone.
How did you figure that one out, man? Like, wow, where do we go? So
I guess I'm still
It's just opposites, I guess. Yeah. But so Wall of Shame I'm gonna give to Corey Bajorquez.
You're pretty sure?
Or I think I might give it to the first half run defense too. That one sounds better since we don't have to do a specific player or whatever. I'm going to give it to the first half run defense.
I always said we did have to do it to a specific point. Yeah. You and John, I was just like, oh, the whole team. Like, oh.
Coaching, special teams.
Right.
Play calling, the quarterback. No, I'm going to give it to the first half run defense, which basically was a continuation of the entire game, the entire run defense from last week.
Yes, it did feel like that. Yeah. It did feel like that.
You're like, okay, great. Because, you know, there was this hilarious meme on Reddit, which I really wanted to steal for our Instagram page. But I just don't have the heart to do it because by the way, if you guys don't follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, like we do Bills memes whenever we can. And it was that famous, you know, infomercial where the guy there's this big, huge glass bucket that's like the size of the entire room and it's leaking water. Water is just coming out of this little hole that's probably like the size of your thumb. Like water's just pouring out. This guy just slaps a Flex Seal on it. And it ends up stopping the leak, right? So someone had this awesome meme on Reddit where they said the Bills released Kyle Pico and signed, I believe the guy's name was Robert Stanton, off the practice squad, like defensive tackle, like boom, run game solved, like run defense solved. And no, it wasn't. Definitely not the first half. So, Mike, who's on your wall of shame? If your wall of shame isn't the first half defense, who is it?
I guess it's got to be the first half run defense.
Jeez. Well, wait. I thought you said that you don't do that. You do players because that's too easy. That's too easy to just do a generic first half defense.
I guess Bajorquez.
You dick.
Well, like, it's just demoralizing with a 15-yard punt.
Yeah.
And he did have the long one today, but you're never like, wow, that was a great punt. Or, oh, wow, the coffin corner kick. They downed it at the two. Like, it's so rare. Like, I can't recall a situation where it's like his name is associated with a positive play. It's either the default or really, really, really bad.
Could you imagine that walk back to the bench after that 15-yard punt? It's got to be the longest walk of anything, like as an NFL player, besides throwing like a pick six or something. That walk back and everyone's just looking at you at the sidelines like, dude, what the bleep was that, right? Like, we're going to go to Twitter right now for some Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers. So first guy up, Jason Statham.
My name is Jeff Chelios, and today is the day that I die.
Writes, Wall of Fame has to be Dangerous Devin. Dangerous Devin Singletary. I kind of like that. That one's all right. That one's not bad. He said, we finally give him the ball, and he produced. Use him wisely from now on. Wall of Shame, hard to say. See, he does say it's hard to say because it is hard to find a wall of shamer for today. Anyway, I digress. Jason said, hard to say, but I'm going to go with play calling. We need to be more aggressive and smart in the end zone if we want to get anything out of this season. And we didn't even bring up, I believe it was the first quarter where the Bills had first and goal at like the 3, and they ended up going back to like their 25-yard line after sacks and incompletions and run plays, stuffed run plays like that Isaiah McKenzie stuffed end around that came, you know, that brought them back to like the 12-yard line. Then, you know, Josh Allen takes a sack. They're back at the 25-yard line. It was ridiculous. So good call on Jason Statham. Actually, since I brought up Jay's tweet, he was also nice enough to leave us a review. And so I wanted to get a chance to, I'm not going to read a lot of reviews this podcast because we did a lot of that last podcast, which we definitely appreciate all the people that have gone to lengths to leave us a podcast or leave us a review, even though probably, you know, 90% of it was just to win the John Brown signed jersey. But, you know, there were some really heartfelt reviews out there. And this one was from Jason Statham. So not only reading his tweet on Twitter, but also he writes in his review of our podcast, I've been listening to this podcast for the past 2 seasons. It is a very insightful podcast on all things Buffalo Bills. Coming from Hull, England, I don't know many people who like the Bills, or NFL for that matter. But Nate, John, and Mike make me feel like I'm one of the guys. They work extremely hard each week to put together a funny, witty, and detailed podcast. I'm very grateful I came across this podcast as it has connected me with many Bills fans around the world via Twitter. Keep up the good work, guys. Hey, let's go Buffalo. So that was really cool, really thoughtful response from Jason. So appreciate that. Love connecting Bills fans in general with our tweets or with the podcast in general. And I know a lot of you guys interact with each other, which is really cool. You guys are all following each other after you kind of come across us on Twitter or whatever. So that's great. Really appreciate the review by Jason. And here's a tweet for Wall of Fame and Wall of Shamer from Mike Taylor. A guy, Mike, Jason and Mike are both in like almost every week, but Mike Taylor writes Wall of Fame, Devin Singletary, of course. Wall of Shame, Brian Daboll. The play calling is killing me. You have to be more creative on short yardage situations. Running the ball up the middle on 3 consecutive plays isn't going to fool anyone. Thank you. That was my point. I wasn't upset with the run calling or the run play calling so much as I was upset that you're running up the middle on 3 consecutive plays, which almost the same exact formation and almost the same exact play calling. The defense didn't even have to adjust. It's not like they had even had to sub players on and off the field. So in saying that, Mike also left, I should say Michael Taylor. Is it Mike Taylor? No, he goes by Mike. He wrote us a review as well. So he said, a lot of people have mentioned the great information and show that these guys do, and I agree. It's one of the best team-focused podcasts out there, but I think this podcast goes beyond that. A lot of NFL podcasts feel overproduced. They're big money operations featuring same guys you see on TV or on draft shows all the time. They might know football, but it never feels genuine. I think this is a great podcast because while they are experts, it's very genuine. I think he meant to say while they aren't experts, which, by the way, is 100% correct. We are definitely not experts, but we never claim to be, so it's all good. Listening to the Circling the Wagons pod feels like you're having a well-informed conversation with friends at a bar. Being really involved with people on social media also makes it feel personal. You don't know these guys, but it really feels like you do. And that's why I listen every week and will continue to do so. Go Bills. So I really want to thank Mike for writing that. It was really thoughtful. Appreciate that. Devin Brown is in on Twitter for Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame. Wall of Fame for Singletary. He showed why he should be getting the majority of reps for the rest of the season. And Wall of Shame to Dable, running it up the gut with Core over and over again when everyone in the stadium knew it wasn't going to work. That's awesome. Thank you, Devin. Now, Mike, you're going to love this. Dave tweeted into us this week. Dave, the aforementioned person that we know that is friends with us that did not win the John Brown signed jersey. Well, he might win. Technically, he does have like a 1 in 55 chance of being in because I'm not just going to take him out of the pool for possible winners, but... dude, he should be on our wall of shame, really. Wall of shame for not winning the John Brown jersey or not responding back to. I think I even have his phone number. I think I have Dave's phone number. He could have texted me, be like, hey man, listen to the pod. Thanks for winning. You can send it here, blah, blah, blah. So I was kind of hoping he would because he lives in Buffalo. That shipping charge would be a lot less than, say, somebody lives in Hull, England. would have helped me out a bunch. So thanks a lot, Dave. So anyway, Dave writes, who's Let's Go Buffalo? He writes, Wall of Fame, whoever scheduled our games this season. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a jersey-winning tweet right there. Wall of Shame, Dable not being able to score from the one-yard line. So technically, he did score from the one-yard line, but not with Frank Gore running up the gut. So Beanie writes, Wall of Fame, Singletary, finally used effectively, and it paid off. Also, so Beanie is a girl, just so everyone knows. Also, she writes, is he single? ? Also, Trey White. Haters, shut up because he's great. Trey, I love Trey White, by the way. It's funny that she mentions, is Devin Singletary single? I don't know. But you should definitely find that out. He's, I don't have anything to add about that. That's really, that's cool. It's cool that she wrote that. We do have some female listeners, so I really appreciate Beanie and the rest of them. So, and I also love Trey White. I love the nickname that one of our other Twitter followers gave him previously, which was Trey Save the Day White. I love that one. And she puts Wall of Shame, the run defense. AP is a great running back, but we did not look great today. Josh Allen, and then she writes, Josh Allen watch. Better each week. Great except for the fumble. Fumbles, but fumble. Great for the, yeah. So he's, yeah, improvement. It's not always going to be up. It's not always going to be down. Sometimes it's just kind of, yeah, it was a game. It's a game. Sometimes you need those games. Sometimes you don't need your quarterback to look great or terrible. So I'm okay with this. Adam Talmadge is in. His Wall of Fame is Motor, a.k.a. Devin Singletary. 140 total yards and one touchdown. The clear difference maker today, for sure. Wall of Shame, Taron Johnson. Too many missed tackles. Neal should play more. Saran Neal. I'm not sure about that. I really love Taron Johnson, but yeah, he did miss a few key tackles today. And it also his Wall of Shame is Brian Dable. 5 failed Gore rush attempts right up the gut in crucial short yardage situation. So he also includes the other fourth down where the Bills lost the ball. And you see, he wrote, I've seen Madden YouTubers with more creativity. I feel like Madden YouTubers have more creativity than even Sean McVay. So this is an interesting one. So I like to read a few new people that I haven't read before. This one's MGD, and he wrote, Josh isn't our long-term answer. Yikes. He's having a terrible year, and today was awful. Singletary needs more touches, and Dable needs a new career. Wow. So I guess I would say his Wall of Shame is either Josh Allen or Brian Dable, or both. And what I will say is, I don't know for sure if we can accurately assess if Josh Allen is our long-term answer yet. He's really only played, I believe this was his 18th game starting. And I don't think he's having a terrible year. I think he's just doing what they're asking him to do. But then again, the reason why they're asking him to do this, Mike, what do you think? I think the reason why they're asking him to do this is because they don't want him to do more yet. Either he can't do it yet, or he's just not ready to take on more yet. What do you think? Maybe a little bit of both?
I think I'd love to see him turn into a player like Russell Wilson, right? You can kind of see how his game he shows sparks of it at times, but I don't see the consistency yet to anoint him as the franchise quarterback.
No,
but our for years and decades, we've wanted someone with the talent and leadership and the staying power, and so far he's it.
Yeah, you know, there can't be enough stated about the fact that Josh Allen was a JUCO transfer, and then he started in a program that was not very well known with not a whole lot of NFL-ready players, and then he left early to come to the Bills. I mean, the guy was never pro-ready coming out of college in the system that he did and the amount of reps that he took, because there's a lot of guys, and you mentioned Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson was a 3 or 4 year starter at a major conference, and his only downside, he would have been a first round pick. His only downside was that he was 5'10" instead of 6'4", right? So I think that we really need a lot more time to evaluate Josh Allen than even the normal quarterback. Like even Sam Darnold, or, well, maybe not Sam Darnold, because I believe he left early too, but like Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield, guys in that quarterback class that had been starting for 3 or 4 years. So anyway, the Nick and Nolan podcast went into this in great length, so I'm not going to go into it again. But, you know, I think that even after this season, I don't know if we'll really know for sure if he's the guy or not. We probably need another season at least to really see. As long as he still continues improvements, as long as he doesn't completely torpedo the Bills offense, I think we just have to, you know, I was thinking about this today. Could you, Mike, ever see an instance where the Bills bench Josh Allen this season for Matt Barkley, like kind of like the Tyrod Taylor getting benched for Nathan Peterman a couple of seasons ago in their playoff run? Could you foresee any reason or any way that they would ever do that?
Not the way things presently stand. I think it's kind of a crazy question, but no.
I would think it was pretty intelligent, pretty thoughtful.
It's kind of out of left field.
I was thinking that today because I'm like, you know,
he'd have to be injured. He'd have to lose his job to injury, and the backup would have to play so outstandingly well that his performance pales in comparison, right? It would have to be like on par with Bledsoe, who had just signed a huge contract with the Pats, losing out to Brady.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see it happening, I guess, is my point. And if in saying that, then like they turned on Tyrod even though they had a winning record, and they started Nathan Peterman, who was like a fourth round rookie. So Matt Barkley is much more accomplished than Nathan Peterman was at that point. And I still don't see, unless Josh Allen completely melts or is completely afraid to throw the ball like Tyrod was, I don't see them ever. So we spent way too much time on that tweet. But interesting topic. There are a lot of Bills fans out there. And when I say a lot, probably like, I don't know, like 10-15%. They're just like, Allen's not the answer. What are we doing wasting our time with this kid? So Hanover writes, Wall of Fame Devin Singletary, duh. Kid is the love child of Gore and McCoy in each of their primes. So excited to see what he does in the future. Wall of Shame, our run defense. See, he did that, Mike. See, he knows the rules. You can say it if you want. Not taking away from AP's play today, but we were all over the place in that first half. Absolutely agree. Attractive Nuisance writes, Hall of Fame, or Wall of Fame, Singletary and Brown. Enough can't be said about John Brown, by the way. He is definitely becoming Josh Allen's favorite target. Really happy that we have him this season. Wall of Shame, the defense. They couldn't stop the run up the center for the second game in a row, despite the Redskins continuously giving it to Peterson every single play. All right, one more. We'll do one more. All right, this is an interesting one. The one I haven't read from a Twitter follower. Friends of the Feathered writes, Wall of Fame, Motor, of course. Wall of Shame, Lorenzo Alexander. He's the reason why we have to use nickel versus 12 personnel, meaning we're down a big body against the run and getting gashed for huge gains. Learn how to cover or stay off the field. I thought there was one great play by Lorenzo Alexander to bat the ball away from, I forget what the other receiver's name for the Redskins, Sims, I believe. But I thought he was okay on pass coverage. Now, there may have been things I missed. Like if I were to watch the game again, I might have missed some things. But I mean, I've been pretty happy with Lorenzo Alexander. So maybe there are people out there that think like Friends of the Feather do also. But I don't know. I didn't see him being the reason why today went the way it did against the Redskins. So now that we're okay, so thank you for everyone on Twitter, that went out of their way to respond to this tweet. There were some people that quote tweeted us, which basically they retweeted it and quoted their Wall of Fame and their Wall of Shame nominees. And I didn't read those. That's kind of hard. It's so much easier to just read as a reply through the tweet. So anyways, if you're looking to do that and you want your tweet read, it's a lot easier to get it done that way. So I would suggest doing exactly what, you know, Mike and Jason and those guys do. So anyway, okay, now to what everyone probably skipped this entire podcast to get to, the John Brown jersey announcement winner, after Dave botched it and didn't end up getting the jersey. So going to go to the site where I have over 50 names picked in, and I'm going to press a button. Here we go. 3, 2.
He's not going to be your friend anymore, man.
Well, he might not.
I'd be pretty irritated if, like, I won. You just had to send me a message.
Hey, I stated the rules clearly before the contest.
You're such a stickler. It's not in violation of the rules. You're just not going above and beyond.
It is in violation of the rules. You have to listen to the podcast. That was part of the rules. Number one was you have to be following us on social media, blah, blah, blah. Number two was you had to leave a review for us. Number three is you had to retweet and share the thing. And number four was you had to listen for the winner.
So he did everything. He did 1 through 3.
Well, he didn't do everything. He did 1 through 3, which
minus
there was
four.
Minus four. He did 75% of it.
There's no way to know if anyone actually listens, right? So you kind of have to take that on faith. Like, your mechanism for seeing that is whether or not you have contact with this person.
Yeah, whether or not they contact me. Yes, correct. They have a way to contact me. If they follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or social media, they can get to us on Instagram or whatever.
But just, you could see where
Dave's
that
gonna be
might
pissed.
Irritate someone.
Where Dave's going to be pissed if he hears this episode?
Yes.
Well, Dave, if you're listening, I'm sorry you can't follow the rules. I'm sorry you don't pay attention to you know, how the rules were described clearly. I could have been a lawyer with the amount of verbiage I use for the rules in Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So it sucks you didn't win, Dave. You know, it sucks that you didn't care enough to listen when the Bills lose. There were so many other players. You know, it's funny. I had a lot of people tweet me and message me directly and said, damn, I was hoping I'd win. And I was like, hey, they haven't contacted me yet, so you might still win. So some of these names that I have listed, by the way, are the names that you either gave through reviews or I have your Twitter handle or whatever. So you're going to have to pay attention because Dave's review handle is different than his Twitter handle is different than everything. So you have to really pay attention. So
he could win again.
He could. He absolutely. I didn't take him out. So Dave should be thankful that I didn't take him out of the running. I should take him out for not listening and not paying attention.
That's not part
you know
of the
what?
Rules.
I'm taking him out. I'm taking
no,
him out.
No, you can't.
That's
you cannot take him out, dude.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Where is
that's
he?
That's not part of the rules. You never said that.
I never said it wasn't part of the rules, though, either.
No, the default would be to leave him. You get rolled over into the next week. That's not right.
That's not right? You think I should keep him in?
Absolutely.
If you ask... So all the people that are actually in this contest of the 50 people are like, yeah, take him out. Like, screw Dave. But you're the one standing up for it. Is it because we might see him again? Is it because we might hang out with him again? This is going to be the one thing he talks
I'm
to us about?
I'm never going to see him again. He's going to blame you for it all anyway. What do I care?
Hey, Dave, you can actually text me. I believe you have my phone number this time if
he
you do it.
He does not have my number, so I am safe.
Yeah, you're good.
I had no way to get in touch with him. I tried.
You tried, yeah. Okay, I'm leaving you in, Dave. Much to the dismay of the other 50 people that actually did everything correctly, I'm leaving you in. So, all right, drum roll. Mike, can you do a drum roll? Oh, that sounds weird when you do it on the mic. There you go, on the desk.
I've always wanted to do this.
Oh, I can tell you haven't done it before. This is the weakest drum... This is the weakest drum roll.
Just tapping my finger on the desk. No good?
No. I mean, it's good. It's just not
like,
fast.
Like, drum, drum, you get that, right? Drum,
I mean,
asking.
I get it. Drum rolls are usually much quicker. Like, like, are you using... Are you stomping? What are you... using, like, a pinky and a foot?
Oh, his fingernails?
Just whatever. That's... Just stop. All right. The winner is... this one's a tough one to read. Okay. So this is the winner is stop that awfulness. Whatever that was.
Let's hear you do it. Let's just show me.
You want me to hear me doing? Okay,
yeah.
Ready?
That's sweet, man.
Yeah.
It's good.
That was a weak one, too. It wasn't as weak as yours, but it was pretty
kind of scary. It makes me think, like, you're going to... It's like the sound they play in movies before they hang somebody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah, good call.
Sense of foreboding. Ooh. Mine was like a happy little... Like a spider crawling up a water spout.
It was like a
something.
Puppy running across the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine was like...
More appropriate for a drawing.
Mine was like the... Corporal punishment for like Saddam Hussein or something, right? So yeah, weird. Ew. Anyway, the winner of this John Brown signed autographed jersey, certified signed John autographed jersey is okay. This is a tough one. I was really hoping this would be easier to read. It's phonetically said Howie O D Lack D M D M S. So how you spell that is H-A-U-W-I-E-O-D-L-A-K-D-M-D-M-S. So Howie O-D-L-A-K-D-M-D-M-S. Anyway, if you are Howie O-D-L-A-K-D-M-D-M-S, whatever, contact me this week. Reach out to me via Twitter, via Facebook, via Instagram, whatever you can do to get a hold of me. Because if not, you end up in the same fate as Dave, and you will not win. So you have to be listening. Howie O Delac DM DMS. Howie. H-A-U-W-I-E-O. That's gotta be a last name or something. So anyway, whoever that is, he or she, contact me. Let me know who you are. Let me know your address. Hopefully you are not in England, and that's selfish because I don't want to pay for shipping to England, but I will do it because you put in all this effort to get on there. So yeah, anyway, so we have a new jersey winner up until next week. So the people are like, oh man, I didn't win. Well, there's probably still a good chance that you will get a chance next week because we know Dave personally and he didn't win. So it's very possible that that happens. So anyway, so really appreciate you guys listening. The Bills are facing the 2-6 Browns next week in Cleveland for that game. So we're definitely going to have a recap for you. That next week, we might have John back. And so again, appreciate all you guys listening. Please subscribe to the Buffalo Rumblings podcast channel. You obviously have us you're listening to. You have the Believe podcast, Rumblings Q&A, Breaking Buffalo Rumblings, Blitz Bills, The Nick and Nolan Show, everything. Mafia Mavens, I forgot, but yeah, everything. So thank you guys all for listening. So for Mike.
Go Bills.
For me, Nate, go Bills 6-2. For the first time since 1993. And if you remember correctly, we went to the Super Bowl that year. Go Bills. We'll talk to you guys again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.